It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the What Culture Gaming podcast, now back on YouTube for the first time, and also for the first time with Kirsten, who is making her podcast debut along with Ben Roy. How are you guys doing?
Very hot, for some reason. Yes. Why is it getting so warm, man?
I don't know. I was saying to you guys before we started recording, the duvet fort that we're now recording voiceovers under is getting unbearable. It's like a little hot box now. I come out sweating. It's minging. It's miserable. You don't want to see it. But speaking of minging and miserable things, we're talking about Resident Evil today. Resident Evil 3 came out at the end of last week. We've all been playing it. But more importantly, we're all big Resident Evil fans. And we are thinking about where Capcom is going to go with the franchise in the future, because we essentially got the idea for this podcast from a survey that they've been sending out to a bunch of different players, analyzing what they want to see from the franchise going forward, in particular the question of whether they would prefer another Resident Evil remake or a straight sequel, gauging interest to see whether the likes of, you know, Resident Evil 0 or Code Veronica or even Resident Evil 4 could get remaked further down the line, or whether, you know, they're going to push ahead with a straight sequel to Resi 7. So I guess that's the first jumping on point. How have you guys responded to the two remakes so far, and the other ones, like, you know, the original remake, and what do you want to see from Capcom going forward?
I'm really interested to hear what Kirsten has to say, because I feel like I tell myself this every day and I always ramble. So Kirsten, I really want to know what you think about these two so far.
Well, I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed them. I mean, I am one of those people that will play Resident Evil regardless anyway. I mean, I played Resident Evil 6, so that's saying something. But no, I think they've been really, really good. You know, Resident Evil 3 definitely seems like it is a little bit short. But apart from that, I mean, it's just been, I really enjoy them. I think that doing more remakes, especially in the order that they're doing them, like kind of starting from the beginning and then remaking them as they go, I think that would work well to kind of clear things up and keep the story going for those that are maybe just jumping in now and haven't played the originals. But yeah, from what I've been hearing, I mean Resident Evil 7 was really good as well. So something new would also be quite nice, to kind of bring in some new characters, some new monsters would be fun. But I really enjoy seeing like the old stuff and seeing and just having that, you know, a new light kind of shed on them. Like seeing Nemesis in the new one was mind blowing to me, because he just looks ridiculous in the old one. He's just kind of this beige blob with a little leather number going on. But in the new one, he's so like badass, and he shows up a lot sooner than in the old one. And yeah, it was, I'm really enjoying it. But yeah, maybe something new. I don't know. It's difficult. I'll take anything at this point. Just more Resi is good for me.
Well, Ben Roy, you've obviously, you know, they're at the end of the classic, you know, fixed camera, you know, like the classic Resident Evil style, the PS1 era style. They've done all of those main games. They rebooted them. But obviously, there was a bunch of spin-offs that you love, Ben Roy. Do you want to see any of those come back? Do you think they are just as, they deserve a remake as much as 2 and 3?
Well, firstly, I'd like to see Resident Evil Regardless, that Kirsten said. That'd be a good name for one of them. Just Resident Evil Regardless.
Resident Evil Regardless. That should be the next one, definitely.
it's got to be Code Veronica next. Like, I won't accept anything else than death, really. You don't go straight to 4 because I feel like with the argument of everything is like 4 still playable. That's why we got 3, I think, so close, and they were just doing them because apart from GameCube, some various PC ports and PS1, 3's not been playable really in the modern age for so long now. They were on like the PS3 classics, but I mean, we kind of needed this to be sort of brought to the new end. But yeah, out of everything that you've put up there, I did the survey myself, and I would like to see Veronica because it might be one of the most like sort of not only underrated, but just underplayed out of the series.
Yeah, I don't know about like you, Kirsten, but I haven't actually... I've played the opening mission to that game. And Benro, you keep badgering me to go back. And I will do one day, but I'm waiting for them to, you know, perhaps to do a remake. Because even though you can get it on the PlayStation 4, it's always the idea. And I wonder whether this affects you. When I knew Resident Evil 3 and 2 were coming back, it made me not want to go back to the originals because I thought, well, you know, I'm going to get to experience it in a way in a couple of years' time, so I'll just wait. And I've done the same thing with Final Fantasy. So when it comes to, you know, Capcom saying that they're going to potentially remake others, it makes me go, well, I might just wait and see. There's no reason for me to go back to them. I'll just, you know, go with the flow. Hopefully they'll give me what I want, which is Code Veronica.
See, I'm the opposite. As soon as I heard about the remakes, I had to go back because I knew that it had been such a long time, and I did want to kind of go in with a little bit of an idea as to what it was going to be about. But like I said, I've gone back and I've played at least about maybe 3 or 4 hours of the original, and compared that to the remake, and like I said, it's the time difference is completely different. And you meet Carlos sooner, you go against Nemesis way sooner. It's like right at the beginning of the remake. So even though I replayed the old one, it's like a completely new game. Like the characters are there and the kind of gist of the story is there, but it's completely sped up. So I feel like I'm already way more ahead story-wise in the remake than I ever was in the original. So, but that's just me. I just like knowing what I'm kind of getting into before I start like a new game, I guess. I like to know a basic idea so it's not just kind of completely like, oh, who's this person? Like, oh, right, that's Jill Valentine, right? You're the one, are you? So, yeah, I don't know. Like,
I had a really like, not a nightmare last night, but I realized when I saw that the suggestion was one remake. I was wondering, are they ever going to do like their remake demakes? Like, are they going to make 2 and 3 in the old style they did? Like one remake. So it's actually that game, but just with nice, beautiful backgrounds and things like that. If they do that, I don't know. Like a ranking list that we've got at the moment is full of remakes, all this sort of thing. It will just become such a mess. What's canon? I don't know. But it's probably going to have to be... For me, it's probably going to be Veronica, and just do Veronica, probably ignore 0 and 1, and then go to 4.
Yeah, well, right. You mentioned a really good point there, because they could do demakes, in my opinion, because for me, the remake of the first Resident Evil, and again, we're going to be tripping over ourselves because there's a bunch of different versions of these games, but the remake of the Resident Evil 1 for GameCube, that to me is perhaps my favorite Resident Evil game. I love the way they stayed true to the core mechanics, but gave it, you know, modern graphics and perhaps a scarier edge, made the cheesy dialogue a bit less cheesy, added in a new subplot. So I do think with the way that Resident Evil as a franchise has gone, it's so different across different games. Like you said, the jump from 3 to 4 initially was massive, that there are a lot of different styles. You can go down the first person route, you can go down the third person over the shoulder route, you can do the fixed camera angles, and you can reimagine these games in a lot of different ways. And I wouldn't be averse to them doing that. I wouldn't be averse to them going back to 1, for instance, and doing it in the style of the 2 and 3 remake, just as I wouldn't be averse to them going back to 2 again and doing it in the style of the 1 remake. It's absolutely mad, but I do think they could go on forever. It's more whether or not the audience, you know, has the appetite for that, whether they want to be bombarded with all of these different versions of games they've already had and that are already, you know, they're all still good games at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is because they are so playable, like you don't really mind what it is that they give you, whether it's a demake or a remake or a brand new game. Like you, we're such sort of fans and we're so passionate about the whole story and the characters and the games in general that it's like, I don't really mind what you give me at this point. Like, you know, even if they release like, you know, Telltale sort of DLCs where it just kind of continued story wise and it was a new story from like a different character. And I'd love to see like Rebecca and stuff sort of come in, like the smaller sort of characters you don't get to see as much. And if we could see Wesker, like Resident Evil 3 version Wesker, that would be like my dream. I love him so much. And it would, I just think he is just the coolest character, and to have him in just like brand new graphics would be amazing. But I, like I said, I think at this point we would take anything because it's just like, we just love it so much. We're happy with whatever, really. You know, there's certain routes that I think that people would like it to go down, like Benroy said. But I think even if they didn't go that way, we'd be happy.
I think they give us Veronica, you'll get your Wesker dreams, because like for the most part he's all over that, but he's just like, oh, I'm gonna drop in, deliver a monologue and then go. I just want eight. I don't know about you two, but I just want the story to go forward first and then give me another remake afterwards, because I just want new. Like, I love all this new era of remakes, but I want the story to progress. But also, I'm going to say right now that I don't mind this, like, sort of talk of werewolves and things like that, but no magic, please. I want Resident Evil to stay grounded in some sort. I want to be explained away with weird science, like in Resident Evil 7, the Monk Joy. I want it to be grounded in fantasy science rather than magic. What do you two think?
Yeah, I mean, me and Scott talked about this the other day when the rumors came out about Resident Evil 8 and that they were going to go down this more supernatural route. And just to like clarify, in case people at home don't realize what we're on about, the fact that the rumors suggest that Resident Evil 8 is going to feature a character called the Witch, who infects the main character and then makes them see hallucinations and makes them see ghosts and things like that. And for me, that is the perfect way of Resident Evil being able to stay Resident Evil with all the biohazards and all the grotesque monsters, while also being able to do something new with, you know, like Benroy says, magic or witches or something a bit more out of the ordinary, something that you don't really associate with Resi as a franchise. And I am here for that. Kirsten, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I definitely wouldn't want to see... To be too, like Benroy said, like magic and wizards and all that sort of stuff. And it, I think it does need to be kind of explained away scientifically, and it needs to be like realistic. But yeah, I think the witch could work, because like you said, it's hallucinations and stuff like that can be kind of explained away with science and, you know, drugs and stuff like that. So she could work, I think. And it sounds like a very intriguing new character. But yeah, I don't want it to start being like the whole werewolves, I guess, could kind of be explained away with some sort of mutation. But there is a very fine line. And I think if they do cross it, it will start to seem a little bit cheesy, and not in a good way cheesy, not like what we're used to with Resident Evil cheesy. I think it will start drifting into a different kind of genre that we don't want. So, yeah.
What did you guys think of Resident Evil 7? Because that obviously started, you know, Capcom down the path of that. It took influences from the likes of, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Dead. It was, even though it was developed by the same studio, it took a lot more influences from Western horror more than the franchise had done before. And for me, that was a cool little experiment, but I could see why it would be contentious, you know, if they doubled down on that and moved away from the regular bioweapons and used that as a framing device to, you know, tell something like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre again.
Not gonna lie, I started off like kind of hating it. I was wondering what's going on. I was like, okay, you're ripping me out of like what happened after 6. Like, I know the world was saved, but then like, half the world was destroyed. But I was just kind of wondering like, where are they gonna go from here? And as it slowly went on and reintroduced itself more as a Resident Evil, I was like, okay, I'm kind of here for it now, and I can buy the fact that these people are infected with mold, and this mold is allowing, spoilers, I guess, a certain someone to control them. And but it was a major turn, like midway through. I was like, okay, actually, I like this American influence of horror and it being more condensed and slowly dripping out Easter eggs and things for people that have played all the other games to see. Like, there's a character from Revelations who writes a novel at the end of that game, and his novel is in that house. Same guy who designed Suspense Mansion designed that house as well. It just seems like that, all these little things peppered around, which brought, I think, more staunchly fans like me, like, don't you dare reset the canon and things like that. Okay, now I'm here. Let's go, Capcom. Let's keep doing this.
That's why I think the remakes have sort of been integral to Capcom's journey with the franchise. Because when it came to 7, like you said, although there were some fans, me included, and I guess you too as well, who wanted to see the storyline of 6 continued, I think it's fair to say at that point the franchise had become like incredibly bloated. It tried too much. It almost became a mockery of itself, and it took a kicking by critics and fans alike, to be fair. And I think 7 was very much a course correction to that. It was almost a clean break, you know. For a while, it was just called Resident Evil Biohazard. 7 was kind of hidden in the title. But I think going back to 2 and 3 has shown the world that you can have those characters. You can have the larger-than-life, you know, Leon Kennedy or Chris or Jill or Claire, and you can put them in a quote-unquote realistic horror situation and still have it be scary and still make that mythos, you know, matter and not allow it to get silly as Resi 6 got. And, you know, have the horror and action and enjoy it.
And say that was RE6 Resident Evil's endgame, because it seemed to all reset after that. That you had all Earth's mightiest heroes come together, Leon and Chris, everything fighting Big Dinosaur Man, and back to sort of like square one.
You know what, Benroy? I don't think I would give it enough credit to call it the Resident Evil endgame, but I certainly think that's what Capcom thought it was going to be. You know, with all
that's what they were going for.
Absolutely.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
So like, what do you guys want to see from a Resi 8 then? Because we've talked about like the rumors and stuff, but personally, you know, if you had carte blanche, you're going into this sequel, you've played Resi 6, you played Resi 7, you've played the remix, what, you know, pros do you want to see from all of those different games put into 8? Because I would like, I'm greedy, I would like a blend of everything. I want to see first person come back, but I would love it if you had the option to swap between first and third person. Because The Evil Within 2, I don't know if you played that, that's one of my favorite survival horror games of the generation. And that patched in a first-person mode after launch, and it didn't take anything away from the horror. If anything, it made it even scarier, but it gave players the option of whether they want to play it as a over-the-shoulder shooter or if they want to be more immersed in it. And I love that, just the idea that Resident Evil doesn't have to pick one of two options. It could have everything, essentially.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if definitely giving it that option to be able to do third person or first person, because I think having that first person aspect makes you feel like you're more part of the game, and it makes it feel like it's you're included in it and it's happening to you. And I think that's what makes it scary. And I think that's why Resident Evil 7 worked so well, is because it was in first person and you had the VR aspect, which was terrifying. And yeah, it made it feel like it was happening to you as well as Ethan. But I do agree that having being able to have a choice would be really good, because not everyone, that's not for everyone. They want to stick to the whole third person route. So yeah, and I agree. I think having a blend of everything, I think to have something new and a new story, maybe even carrying on for Resident Evil 7, would be good. But I do also want to have at least a shout out, or like you said, little sort of like trophies and Easter eggs to kind of hint at the characters that we do know and love, whether it is Chris or Wesker or Rebecca or Jill, whoever. It's just nice, a little sort of wink to people that are sort of like, yeah, this is new and we know that you're not familiar with this, but we are going to chuck some people in that you are familiar with, just to kind of like make you feel better and feel more at home. So yeah, I think like you said, a mixture of everything would be nice. A nice blend would be good.
Yeah, 100%.
I would like to see, I'm just going to campaign until this happens. Either bring Valentine back in sort of like a referee, or give me Valentine in A, because we haven't seen her in the canon as such from 5 Revelations onwards. Like, what, everyone was around in 6, what was she doing? But I can also go with the Ethan route to have him again, but I don't know kind of what he would do in this. Maybe more like sort of investigations even into what was going on with her wife and stuff. And I would also want the new happy, smiley, fun Umbrella to be scared very much, because Umbrella are now, quote, the good guys at the end of this. And I kind of don't buy it. I'm waiting for the major double turn again. Like, haha, we're actually evil, good, evil, evil. And it's going to happen. And maybe bring, as much as people might hate it, bring Jake Wesker into it. Have him like be...
You did not it, just say that.
Realize that it's actually Troy Baker. So get as much bacon as you can be, and have him like say be like a Lewis character for like from 4, where he just pops in and out and helps you in certain occasions. I'm not tied to Ethan. Ethan can just say, it's good if people just pop out, but then. The idea of being set in like Europe again and in a dark village, I'm quite skeptical, because it's like, look, we're now doing the Resident Evil 4 thing again. I would like to, I don't know, maybe more of a town or a village. Like, I don't think we should do a whole city being destroyed. I don't think we should retread any grounds. Maybe, I've got it. like a globetrot bit, like in Code Veronica. So have like maybe 1 or 2, 3 big locations and go from there to there. And I know some people like to backtrack and do certain things, like I'm going to go and get this grenade that I left in room 1 of the game, but maybe split up in that sort of way. That's kind of how I see it may go. That's a lot of rambling, but I basically just bring Troy Baker back and do it in a village, and maybe get a guy with a chainsaw again.
A lot of good points there, but right. First off, yes, bring Jill back. Call it Resident Evil Valentine's Day, and I'm already in. Release it on Valentine's Day, and then we've got, for me, Capcom, I've got your entire PR campaign already planned out for you. I would also like to see Jake come back. I saw Kirsten recoil in horror at the sheer mention of that, though. But no. I'm kind of used to that. What have you got against him, Kirsten? He seems like a nice dude, you know?
It's just bad memories, no, because I just think he was just one of those characters that was like, he was just so overpowered, and he just kind of seemingly came out of nowhere. I don't know. I don't like change, and he was just it was just like, who is this guy? And then it was, you know, he was kind of tied into Wesker, which I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that Wesker had a kid without me and I just got upset and it wasn't mine. So, you know, that's maybe. What he just betrayed my trust by having a child that wasn't mine. But no, I just think he just, I don't know. He just seemed too unbelievable. Is that a good way to put it? You know, just having this character that was so overpoweredly strong and just being able to just wipe things out with just no care in the world, and it just seemed too easy for him. And that's not what Resident Evil's about. Like they're relatable because they have their weaknesses, and he just didn't seem to have any. And
he would literally kick zombies to death. I mean, that was how you control them. So in an unbelievable game, he still managed to be unbelievable. Bedroy, you're going to interject there. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, like, Palpatine had a kid, didn't have a kid. So everyone, anything goes now. A bit of naughty stuff in there. But just the way you solve that, there's a little film called Resident Evil Afterlife. And in that film, Wesker takes away Alice's powers with the antidote. Just do that.
Yes. Okay.
If they bring him back
with no powers, then fine. That's fine. I'll happily accept him. But OP Jake, no. Not for me.
This is madness. Don't you ever suggest that the Resident Evil game series takes any tips from the Resident Evil movie series. And I quite like the Resident Evil movie series, but that is not a door you want to open, my friend.
Mm-mm.
And I also just have a big shout out for Sheva. Like, bring Sheva back. Like, have her maybe be part of the UBCC, like something like that. Or maybe she's helping heading up New Umbrella. Like, don't just... I did just say I don't mind if Ethan doesn't turn up here, but I wouldn't say don't abandon one character forever. Like, have this, if they give this global anti-biohazard threat, that they should all be sort of like popping in and sort of like seniors. I don't know, because I feel like she played such a big part in that she deserves a return in some way.
Yeah, I feel like you almost need to do sort of like an Avengers Endgame, but like Resident Evil, and just have them just all turn up, like you said, with Resident Evil 6, where everyone seemed to kind of turn up to save the day, but there were still major sort of characters that weren't there. So it'd be quite nice to at least have a few of the characters like pop up, even if it is just for like a few scenes, to be like, oh, there's Sheva, like, oh yeah, okay, there's Jake. Like, it's nice, isn't it? It's a nice little nod to the characters that, like, just to sort of show you, oh, we haven't forgot about them, this is where they are now, this is what's going on, and this is how going through these, you know, issues and the whole zombie pandemic has shaped them as different characters would be quite nice to see where they are.
And what was Carlos doing 20 years later? Get Carlos in there. Like, yeah. We've got that mad haircut. Who knows?
His hair.
I do think you're right, though. Like, when it comes to the lesser character... Oh, I almost swallowed my face there. When it comes to the lesser characters in Resident Evil, I feel like they've all still got enough there that if they were given the chance, they could become something special. Like Benroy, I'm not a huge fan of Ethan, but I want him to return because I think there's enough interesting things, you know, teased in Resident Evil 7 that you could make him as good a character as, you know, the Resident Evil headliners. And I think the same thing, you know, is also true of Sheva and 5. But Benroy, you mentioned you don't want the series to retread water, but Kirsten, you said you don't like change. So that brings me to the big question of, when it comes to Resident Evil 8 or whatever the next Resident Evil game is, we have seen a lot of, you know, repeated situations, locations, and mechanics from the old games. Like, me and Scott in the news video were talking about the idea of persistent enemies and how that Resident Evil does that well, but because we've seen them so many times across so many consecutive games, that the allure to me is fading. And I've got to admit, the same thing is happening with sewer levels. It's happening with the hidden laboratory. And although you could argue those things are at the heart of Resident Evil, I wouldn't mind them coming back, but I want them done in a new way. I want them to either do something new or give us a spin on old ideas with a fresh lick of paint and not just kind of, you know, give it to us with a nod and a wink of, hey, this is Resident Evil, you know, this is what we do.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
Say that 7 pretty much did that and did everything you guys asked. Don't know if it's a little dig, but like, you're not going to get out of the secret laboratory. It's not. It's like saying you're going to take Hogwarts out of Harry Potter. No, it's there, mate. It's there. Get over it. It's there.
But, yeah.
I've been a bit too aggressive there, but I think you've got to have some sort of secret lab, because it's like biohazard. Where are you going to make this stuff? Like, I do understand as well, like, I think after this, people are reminded that, a lot of Resident Evils have had the same sort of things, and maybe 3 Remake has pushed certain things more into our faces than we would like. But I think Jack was done really well in 7, and I think you can get around it. But then again, I don't want to be chased for a whole game. I was playing 3 thinking after you get first the initial stages where Nemesis can come from anywhere, I kind of enjoyed it a bit more just to be able to soak it in. And I will say, yes, sewers are a plague in all games, I think. But I like the sewer section in 3, I think it's so there and gone, it's okay. But then again, I do agree with you and Scott. I think if you have a Resident Evil 2 section where most of it's in the sewers, then what are you doing? Get in the bin. But then, that was 1998, design. That was, how can we make an area that which is, tall, small, and not resource draining?
So,
what I'm saying is I agree with your points entirely. Then again, I think you're going to have a lab regardless. It's just Resident Evil.
I will partly agree with you in that Resident Evil 7 did manage to do those things in an interesting and new way. Even though you did eventually go to a lab, it wasn't, quite what we'd seen before, and it was in a completely separate location, and it came after, hours and hours of something so un-Resident Evil. And I will also agree that Jack was pretty good for the most part. The idea of him, popping up whenever, being virtually indestructible, crashing through walls, that was awesome. My only issue isn't necessarily with these core systems or core features. It's just the overexposure of them. I'm fine with them in isolation, but we all play Resident Evil quite regularly. We all love Resident Evil, so we've experienced these things before. And it's just, I wonder and I worry whether Capcom are perhaps resting on their laurels a bit of this is Resident Evil without trying to reinvent the wheel. Because for me, this series has always been about fundamentally reinventing the wheel. That's just some, caution and some fear from me seeping out there, but I'm sure they'll hopefully do a good job.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think persistent enemies is one of those things that if you have never played Resident Evil 4 is scary, but when you are like us and you have played it many, many times, many different versions, the panic's there, I guess, but it's not a scary aspect. It's more of a hindrance, and it's more when you are trying to experience every part of the game and you are trying to get the Easter eggs and stuff and you have someone standing in your way, it is incredibly frustrating because it's just like, no, I don't want to fight new Nemesis. I don't want to be running away from Mr. X. I want to be trying to find all the hidden jewels and I want to be getting the Easter eggs. And it is frustrating. And I think Jack, like you said, was done very well because he did kind of just pop up out of nowhere and he wasn't essentially sort of chasing you in a sense. But I think that bringing back more the special zombies, the chainsaw guys, the ones that were, when they did pop up, it was like, oh no, I can't be dealing with this. I've not got the right items. I haven't planned for this. That for me is more of a scary situation because as soon as you see them, you're like, oh, I know how to beat them and I know it's going to be difficult. And the fact that they can just kind of sort of pop up anywhere, but it's not a boss battle and they're not chasing you necessarily. I don't know. I feel like they sort of will work better in the new game than, like you said, someone who's persistently just catching up to you slowly or chasing you basically. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think that would work in the new game at all, really. I think we're bored of that now.
Which was in this one, and I just think the witch character was a mini boss, like the chainsaw guy, so Dr. Salvador. If she came along and was messing with your mind, maybe it could be a Silent Hill thing where you don't necessarily enter Hell World, the things start melting and the environment changes. That would give you so much scope to make weird locations, a bit the end of Evil Within 2, where just things, anything goes, just all broken up. And if you took that, what is theorized to be this new sort of thing that's stalking you throughout the game, but I hope it only pop up at certain sections, you could have a lot of fun with that, I think. And you can take Resident Evil in ways that it's never been done before without breaking the world fundamentally, and then eventually have it just come down to it's a chemical reaction. Life's just one big chemical reaction, mate. And it's
that's a lovely
life
little note
finds
to end
a way.
On that, right? Yeah, life finds a way. It's one big chemical reaction, and you will turn into a giant monster with eyes for hands. But before we wrap up, I want to finish with the core question. Just has to be just going to be snappy of that, like, kickstarted this entire podcast. It's the idea of, what do you guys want to see next? Do you want another remake, or do you want an actual sequel? I should have asked one of you in particular there. Kirsten, you go first.
I think I would like something new. I think we know what's going on. They've leaked that there's going to be something new. So yeah, stick with that. If that's what you're going to do, stick with it. I want to see new things now.
RE8, please, or Rev 3, please, and then Code Veronica Remake, please. Thank you.
There you go, Capcom. You have your instructions. But I wonder what you guys think down in the comments below. What do you envision as the future of the Resident Evil franchise? And please give us a like, share, subscribe, and head over to whatculture.com for more lists and news like this every single day. I promise you, they're really good. Even if you don't, though, I've been Josh. You can follow me on Twitter at Josh Brune. This has been Kirsten. You can follow her on Twitter at... What is your handle, Kirsten?
It's at Kirsten Rhea with two A's. It's everywhere.
Rolls off the tongue. Ben Roy, what's yours?
Oh, it's just Ben Roy Turner. No hyphen, no nothing. One word. Let's go. Follow me.
Minimalism. Good. Chemical reactions. I hope you've all had a good time. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.